Well, some of us used to know each other when we had hair, amen? Come on, is that right? Some of us go back a ways. I still remember when this building was traded for. I still remember when Brother Thomason became pastor across the road over there a ways back, and just what God did there. I don't tell jokes very easily. I'm not very good at telling jokes. But, you know, on a night like this when you just eat, I'm going to try to tell you a joke. And here's what I want you to do. No matter whether it's funny or not, just act like it is, all right? I have a friend who pastors in the mountains of North Carolina. He told me this joke. And I said, can I use it? And he said, Brother Fisher, you're so somber that I don't think anybody would laugh at it. And I said, yeah, okay, well, maybe they'll laugh at the fact that I don't tell it very well. So he said, yeah, he said, there was a mountain country preacher who'd never flown on an airplane before, and he was a little bit nervous when he got on, and he decided what he'd do is he'd get real tired before he got on, so he stayed up a lot the night before. So we got on the airplane, he'd be so tired, he'd fall asleep, and that would take care of his nervousness. And so he did that. He stayed up and he got on the airplane and sat down in his seat and was just trying to get comfortable and getting ready to go to sleep and just forget about the whole airplane trip. And hopefully when he wakes up, he'd be there. And a guy sat down next to him and struck up a conversation with him. And he thought, well, I should be kind to this man. And so he struck up this conversation. And the guy was a professor of a intellectual college, you know, And so the guy was talking with him a little bit, and the professor said, what do you do for a living? He said, well, look, I'm just a country preacher. And he said, well, that's wonderful. He said, well, I'm a professor at a college. And the country preacher said, that's nice, that's fine. And just wanted to be cordial enough to where he could go to sleep. Well, the professor said, hey, how about we play a little game, you and I? My friends do this all the time. And he said, we asked each other questions. And he said, and then we kind of do a little thing where if I can't answer it, I give you $5. And if you can't answer it, you give me $5. And the country preacher said, nah, you're much smarter than I am. I just don't want to do that. And he was trying to kind of be kind and get cordial and get to sleep. And the professor said, well, how about this? He said, how about I asked you a question? If you can't answer it, you give me $5. And if I can't answer your question, I'll give you $50. And the country preacher kind of looked at him and thought about it for a moment. And he said, okay, all right, deal. And the professor said, I'll go first. The country preacher said, okay. He said, well, how far is it from the earth to the moon in miles? The country preacher reached down, grabbed his wallet, pulled it out, pulled out $5, and he said, I have no idea. Gave him the $5. And the professor said, all right, your turn. Ask me. And he thought for a moment, and he said, the country preacher said, well, here's the question. He said, what goes up the hill on three legs and comes down the hill on four? And he said, the professor said, what? He said, here's the question. What goes up the hill on three legs and comes down the hill on four? And the country preacher looked at him, and the professor looked at him, and the country preacher just decided, you know, I'm just going to get some rest now. And he leaned over and he started nodding off to sleep. And the professor, man, he airplane had taken off. He was on the airplane internet, and he started looking up little thing is to try to find the answer to this thing. He even emailed a couple of his friends, asked him what goes up the hill on three legs and comes down on four. And he worked on it for about an hour or so, and finally the country preacher stirred just a little bit and woke up just for a moment and looked up at him. And the professor had $50 in his hand. And he looked at the country preacher and he said, I've looked and looked, I've thought and thought, I don't know the answer. And he gave him the $50. The country preacher took the money, put it in his pocket, and leaned over to go back to sleep again. And the professor said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you got to tell me. What's the answer? I mean, I've been looking, I've been thinking, I can't figure it out. Tell me what goes up the hill on three legs and comes down on four. And the country preacher reached in his wallet and gave him $5. Went back to sleep, amen. Oh, you got it, huh? Sometimes those country preachers are a little bit smart. Now, if you would have heard him told it, you would have really laughed. Look at Luke 19 tonight. Luke 19, I won't be very long. I want to make sure that you understand a principle that you should please understand. And I'm going to speak to you just a few moments tonight about making a doctrinal bank deposit. I'll say it again, a doctrinal bank deposit. I want to say this to you. I appreciate your church because I've watched so many years of what God has done for you. But I want to tell you this, all the giving you've done so far, tremendous, as you've seen the buildings going up and how it is to see something being built. It's motivating, it's exciting to see it being used. But I want to tell you this, it takes a great deal of character now to retire debt. What do you mean? The building's already up. It's already being used. Now what it takes is character to see this through. And isn't it wonderful how God has done some miraculous things around Liberty? I mean, brought Brother Thompson here, brought his wife and his family. I've known him from years. They've been waiting and watching and being faithful, loyal, where they were at. And I'm so glad they waited for this to all open up. Some of y'all know, I know Brother Tomlinson, and don't take this wrong, I call him Tommy. I knew him from Redwood City. My wife and I were just 1 year old married. Not 1 year olds, but first year married. Well, that was a joke too, huh? When we stopped by his church on the way to the mission field, and I stayed kind of close to him, and I was there with him in Fremont, we put a dollar under the rug for that church and then this church, and just watched through the years, and so I respect Tommy and Gail a great deal. Please don't be offended. I always like them because they like convertibles. Come on, is that right? And now for God and my friend to work something out where it's seamless. And not just seamless, but the building and the church has already taken off in growth. That's a dream of mine when it's my turn to step aside from our church. So I'm just really blessed to be here and watching what is going on with your pastor and your staff. I mean that with all my heart. I've known the McMains for too long. Not Mrs. McMains, Doug, amen? Come on, is that okay to say that? I said it now. So I want you to see something doctrinally tonight. Look at Luke 19. Stay right with me. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country. Just for interpretation, the certain nobleman is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the far country that he came to was this world. You see, this world is not the home of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is. Would you agree with that? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. But the certain nobleman, Jesus Christ, he went into a far country, this world, to receive for himself a kingdom in return. Well, before he left, he called his 10 servants together and he gave each one of them something. And by the way, each one of us has something to contribute. What do you mean? His servants each got a pound. Now, let me make this statement to you. There is no Christian that's ever been born again that God did not create unto good works. Every Christian is created to do something for him. We all have different gifts and different responsibilities and different abilities, but I want to tell you something. There is no one born again that's not created to do something for him. That's right. Everybody gets the opportunity to give him glory, is that right? Yeah. And to be part of his work. And what I want to tell you is this. Every citizen, every one of his servants received a pound. And what they were supposed to do with that pound was invest it. If you look carefully, He says this, verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, and by the way, he is coming again, amen? When he returned, he went to the servants and he asked them, what did you do with what I gave you? What do you mean? Jesus Christ not only gave us salvation, but he gave us something to contribute to his work. Everybody in here contributes in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to say it again. Everybody contributes in some. The very fact that you're here tonight is a contribution. Your presence, your prayer. But everybody, one of these days, including myself, not just preachers, but I'm talking about ladies and men, and it doesn't matter what your status is. Everybody is going to be asked by him, what'd you do with what I gave you? Give an account. And we need to be ready. And I want to be a part of a church, like Pastor said, that's growing, that's doing something to where what we're investing is getting interest for him. Amen. It's getting usury for him. And so here's what he said. He says this in verse 15, stay right with me. He said, when he returned, he received the kingdom. Then he commanded those servants to be called to him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading, putting it into use. And you know the story. Many of you have read the scripture. Well, the first one came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said, well done. Well, thou good and faithful servant. Good job. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10, what? Everybody say it. 10 what? Cities. Do you believe in the millennial reign? Talk to me. Do you believe in the millennial reign? Where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years and we get to rule and reign with him? I believe that in that day when we rule and reign, we get to be over cities. We get to be in management. Come on, is that right? I believe in that stuff. You mean literally? I believe it literally. And what's going to determine what we get to do for him later is the very little that we do now. And you say, what's the very little? He says what we're doing right now is just a very little compared to eternity. But praise the Lord, we're doing a very little. You say, no, you don't understand. I'm doing a lot, not compared to eternity. Everything down here we do by faith is a very little, but he's watching the little bit we're doing. Come on, is that right? Man, I'm glad to be a part, just a part of what God's doing. And you ought to be glad to be a part. And you ought to make a doctrinal bank investment. What's that? Well, look a little farther and watch what it says. Verse 18, the second came. Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. So the first one gained 10, the second gained 5 cities were being stacked up for them. Then the last one came, verse 20. Another came saying, Lord, here's thy pound. Here's what you gave me. I've kept it laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee. Because thou art and what? Say it. Austere. Say the word. Say it. Austere. Say it one more time. Austere. What God just did was he revealed to us something about himself. He wrote the book. Come on, is that right? Men inspired by the Holy Ghost wrote this book. And what he just told us, what he just told us is that when we see him again, he will be austere. He's not the Lamb of God on the cross anymore. Look up here. He's not meek and lowly anymore. His meek and lowly days on this earth are done. What is he now? Say the word. He's austere. To us, we ought to view him as austere. Now, I want to make this statement to you. If you're not yet saved, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you haven't received Christ as Savior yet, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's meek and lowly. But after you get saved and you get to know him, please listen, he's now what? Say it. Austere. Because we face him one day. Come on, is that right? And we face him and he is what? Say it. Do you know what the word means? Tell me. Somebody tell me what austere means. What? Strict, stern, and the word, the right word, hard. You say, now wait a minute, I have a loving Savior. At the judgment seat of Christ, he will be strict, and stern, unwavering, unbending. You say, now, wait a minute. I think of a loving Savior. Continue to think of a loving Savior. Think of him as the intercessor. Think of him as the propitiation. Think of him as the high priest. Think of him of all those things. But at the judgment seat of Christ, think of him as what? Say it. Austere, strict, stern. What'd you do with what I gave you? What'd you do with the opportunity you had? And you ought to be thank God and thanking God that you're in a church that's doing something and not arguing over the color of the carpet. I like what preacher said. If we can get this debt, then we can get into gospel stuff more. Then we can get into outreach more. I believe that with all my heart, don't you? But you say, I don't like the way you're presenting our Savior. He's revealing to us when he comes again and says, give an account. He's revealing to us who he is. And he is what? Say it. Austere. No, I like him as a loving Savior. He is that. I like him as meek and lowly. He was that. I like him as the Lamb of God. He'll be the Lamb one day, but he's going to be King of Kings. But when we see him again, he will be what? Say it. Austere. And you should know that. I should know that. And it motivates us to keep investing. In what way? Well, watch what it says. Stay with me. Everybody still all right? Verse 21. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Ho, did you see that? You know what he just said? You're not doing the work, Lord. You delegated it for us to do. You're reaping that which you did not sow. He's allowed us to get involved and co-labor with him. Is that right? But when he comes back, austere, look what he says, verse 22. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Well, what made that servant wicked? He took and received what God gave him, verse 21, and he laid it up and did nothing with it. Let me say that again. Why did God call him a wicked servant? Because he received what God gave him and did nothing with it to invest in what God wanted him to invest in. He kept it for himself. Everybody still all right? I know this is sobering, and it should be. Thou knewest, Jesus says, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, he says to that servant, look at verse 23. This is the message. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you understand this scripture, the nobleman is Jesus Christ, the far country is this world, we're the servants, we get something from him, by the way, that's still his. He said, my money. You say, you're being like, you ought to be kinder to us. I ought to be straight with you. Let me be kind but straight, genuine, Australian fair dinkum, straightforward. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, somebody should have told us that he's going to be, what's the word? Austere, strict, stern, unbending, unwavering. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Wait till the judgment. And what I'm saying is, you don't want to lose your city. You don't want to lose your reward. All he's asking you to do tonight as a pastor is a very little. Just get involved. Take what God has given you. Hey, are we bought with a price? Yes or no? Talk to me. Are we owned by him? That means everything I have, including my breath, is his. And everything that he's allowed us to do, it's come from him. You say, no, I did this all. You did it because he gave you breath. You did it because he gave you brains. You did it because he gave you opportunity. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? I mean, if you've been successful, God has allowed you to be that. And all he's asking back is a very little. So I want to ask you this question. Read it with me. You're doing well. Look at verse number 23. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I have required mine own with usury, with interest, with more, with gain? So let me ask you a question. Where's the bank? Scripturally, talk to me, where's the bank? Now look at me. We already know a certain nobleman, Jesus Christ, came into this world in a far country, and he gave his servants, everybody has something they were given to do something with. So my question is, the one gained 10, gained 10 cities. The one who gained 5, gained 5 cities. The one who laid it up, God said, you wicked servant. Where's the bank? It's not Bank of America. Where's the bank? Scripturally. Talk to me, where's the bank? Where is it? It's got to be the church. What do you mean the church? The church is where we lay things up. Where moth and rust cannot break through and steal. Or corrupt and steal. Thieves can't steal. Come on, is that right? When you make a bank deposit, it's made and no thief can steal it. Like the prayer you put in. It's a deposit. The tithe's an offering. It's a deposit. The teaching, Sunday school, it's a deposit. The being here tonight, it's a deposit. Amen. Come on, is that right? Preacher, can I get one of those envelopes? This is where we make a Luke 19 deposit. Because you're giving it back as unto him. Right. You say, no, it's for a building. It's God's buildings. Well, it's under the church. It's God's church. And you're given the opportunity and we're provoking you a little bit to love and good works. You say, I don't like the provoking. Did you like the joke? We'll be glad for the provoking more than the joke. I didn't really come here to be an after dinner speaker. I come here to tell you he's austere. And please don't miss the opportunity to make a deposit that gets laid up into the bank. Come on, you still with me or not? You've already done a wonderful job. You've already got the buildings up. Now, pastor's asking you, I believe, motivated by the Holy Ghost. Come on. I don't believe he's having a banquet just because, well, I got to have a banquet now. I believe the Holy Ghost led this. And if you don't know who's in charge, Jesus is the head and the Holy Ghost is running the show. Amen. Come on, do you believe that? I do, Sammy. First, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord commands the Holy Ghost who commands us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is running the show down here. Hey. Come on, is that right? He's not just running this church, he's running our church and he's running all the churches. Amen. I hope you know who the Holy Ghost is. I hope that doesn't choke you when I say Holy Spirit. Because he's running the show. Amen. Pastor's not running this thing. Pastor's being told by the Holy Ghost what to do. Sorry, preacher. Kind of sorry. And what we're trying to do is give you an opportunity and provoke you to love and good works. And we're sheep too. Pastor, I heard him say that he's going to make a deposit. Because he wants to lay up too. And this is not vacation fund. This is souls. This is paying something off. This is reaching into the community. Now, let's not miss the rest of it real quick. It won't be long. Well, then he says this, wherefore, hey, wicked servant, not you, but the one who laid it up, didn't do anything with it. 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it unto him that hath 10 cities. Please look. You know what he just took? His reward. He just took his city. And he said, give it to somebody else. You know what God's saying? If you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else to do it. It will get done. Come on, is that right? It will get done. What are you saying? Nobody is indispensable. God still will get it done with or without us. You say, well, then why are we doing this? To give you an opportunity. So he said, take the pound and give it to the one that has 10 pounds. And you know what they said? He's got 10 pounds already. And the Lord said, right. The Lord is a good investor. If you had something you were investing in and it was making a lot, and you had something that wasn't making much, wouldn't you pull that and put it over there? So he said, take the pound back. I already gave him his chance. He didn't use it. It's going to be used. I'm going to get something from it, so give it to the one who has 10. He said, he has 10 already. And the Lord said, right. God's pleased if one gains 10. Look up here. If one gains 5 or if one gains 1. God's pleased with all that as long as we use what he's given us. That's all. The little bit that you have, hey, you say, I can't get up there and speak. I can't organize. What are you doing as a pastor? I got people who organize. I could never put this on. Doug, you couldn't put it on. Your wife organizes this stuff. Come on, is that right? Everybody here knows that, right? Is that right? I don't organize. I got guys who organize. What do you do? I stand up and yell them to organize. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody is gifted some way. Some of you have the gift of giving. You need to exercise it. You say, no, everybody's a giver. I know everybody's a giver, but some people have the gift of giving. You ought to know what your gifts are. And you ought to be utilizing those gifts and putting those gift deposits into the bank. Whatever your gift is. If your gift's mercy, make sure you're putting some mercy into the church. Come on, is that right? If your gift is teaching, make sure you're teaching in the bank at the church. Come on. Well, I use it in the world. I didn't know I was allowed to use it at the church. You better be banking at the church. It's important. If you've got the gift of wisdom, you better be using it at the church in some way, shape, or form. Helps, you better be using it at the church in some way, shape, or form. But everybody is allowed, given the opportunity, to give. And that's what this is about tonight. Because when we face him, he will be what? Say it. Austere. Say it again, what?
Austere.
Austere means strict, stern, unbending, unwavering. When we face him, we're his children. But he's no respect of persons. When we face him, we're his adopted children. Come on, is that right? Everybody's been born again and adopted because he wants us. Praise the Lord, he wants us. But every child gets the opportunity to serve. And every child will be judged, including me, including these young teenagers. And by the way, great example you're setting for the teenagers. You know what they're getting to see? Something happening. We want our teenagers to believe in God, don't we?
Yes,
but we want our teenagers to believe in church,
amen,
too.
Yes,
and they watch what you're doing tonight, and they see buildings going up, and they see people joining, and they see people getting saved, and they hear about missions, and they watch what you're doing. The pastor stands up and said, good job, y'all did this much. And teenagers are listening. Oh, they're listening. They're listening. I hope you're listening tonight, because it won't be long. We'll be facing God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be what?
Austere.
Why you keep saying that? I want it to ring in your brain that he's austere. No, he's the lovely Lamb of God. Yeah, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb in heaven. Come on, is that right? He still is. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords, right? But right here, he just revealed to us something about the judgment seat, because what he said was this. When I come, I'll call my servants and ask them to give account of what they have done with my money, whether they traded with it or not. It's what he gave us to use. And all I'm suggesting to you strongly tonight is take advantage. Redeem the time. We're not asking for all your money, just some of it. I don't feel bad about asking for something that God gets. I'm going to say it again. You're looking at me like, you're asking for our money. It's a stewardship banquet, man. And if you're visiting tonight, come back. The preacher's a much better preacher than I am. I just come, oh yeah, you came for our money. No, I came for your rewards. I came to say, don't miss the cities. Don't lay it up and do nothing with it.